These have been very difficult times, particularly for organisations like the Hope Centre. I'm actually inside the door of the Hope Centre as we speak, and I'm here with Sean McCarthy. Sean, thanks for inviting me.
Oh, no, you're more than welcome, Alan. Thank you very much.
And just to let people know, I've already come in, I've signed the form, I've had the temperature test on, which thankfully is okay. But they're the priorities you take. You've got your sanitising zone here as well, all important.
Oh, hugely important, particularly in a centre like a cancer support centre where people coming in may be compromised with their own immune system. So luckily, and through a lot of hard work by the people who are actually working on the floor here, we have been in a position where we've had no incidents of somebody contacting COVID while they have been in here. So the sanitisation, the washing the hands, the wearing of the face masks, all of the simple things that we're all asked to do, certainly have worked here.
It's many years, it's over 5 years since it was last in this premises. There have been developments, including the purchasing of a new premises, which is very important. How is the fundraising holding up? How is the funding of this organisation holding up in these difficult times?
It has been a bit of a struggle, but you know, luckily enough, the Hope and Dream last year was very successful. Far exceeded what we would have expected. We do get some funding through the HSE, and we get some funding from some other places as well. But this year there was a lot of grant aids made available to organisations like ourselves, and we were successful in being able to, you know, draw down enough funding that we were able to do a lot of changes within the centre, which was badly needed. You know, we needed new flooring, we needed rooms to be carpeted and things like that.
And ultimately, just let's not assume that everyone knows what the Hope Centre does. What do you do?
The Hope Centre, well, there's a lot of different activities that are in it. I suppose we would see it as a place for people who are touched by cancer can come for support, be they having a diagnosis of cancer themselves, be they be caring for somebody, be they living with somebody who has it, or maybe they just have some queries themselves about their own health and well-being and they're not sure what to do or where to go. Right. So it's a little place on the top of Wafer Street in Enniscorthy, but it has a wide reach out into the rest of the county.
It's very welcoming. There's a lovely scent in here as well as people come in. Is this all part of it? Is it just to relax people?
Oh, absolutely. People who have diagnosis of cancer or undergoing cancer treatment are constantly in and out of clinics, they're in and out of hospitals, into doctor surgeries and that. We try to break that insofar as this is like coming into somebody's home, where somebody can go into the kitchen and have a cup of tea, where the rooms that they go into, where they're assessed or where they speak to some of the professionals here, are more like somebody's living room. So that we try to keep it away from a clinical thing, so that we're about support, we're not about, you know, the whole clinical area. There's different people who do that, and we're a support to both them and to the client who's coming in.
Well, let's go for a little ramble. So I walked into, we're still in the foyer here.
So when a person comes in, they walk in here, and there's a corridor that's just straight down, and there are a number of rooms that are off the corridor.
Okay.
So on the very immediate door on our left, and there's somebody probably in there now, so we won't be able to go in.
Yeah.
This is the nurse's
station.
Right. Nurse's office, that's where they do their work on that. We have two nurses here, they work opposite each other, so we have 5 days a week we have cover of nurses, and they do assessments and they do support calls and they look after all of this kind of the clinical side of things in relation to the clients.
So they're actually dealing with people who are on a cancer journey then?
Absolutely, and take calls from people who may be concerned or worried, but they also do other things like facilitating different groups and that type of a thing.
So as we move further down,
we have a lift here, so we have a lift, and that's very important because some of the clients who are coming here are compromised, and some of the therapies that go on would be upstairs, so they can use the lift, so that increases access for people who have any kind of, let's say, disabilities.
So we're still on the ground floor at this stage.
Now I'll just bring you in here, Alan. This is a room that has recently been done up. Now you can see the way there's new flooring on it.
Yeah,
it has been painted, and this is going to be a meditation relaxation space.
Okay.
It's a very exciting thing.
Chakra meditation on the wall there.
Chakra meditation on the wall. It's a very exciting project that we are working with at the moment. And we're working with actually a native of Enniscorthy from Wafer Street, Dr. Elizabeth Jordan, who's now based in London. Mm-hmm. And she's actually working with us in developing a whole new approach to delivering meditation and relaxation, where we actually are teaching people about the meditation so that they can do it and learn about it themselves, so they become independent of the center rather than being dependent on having to come here. So they can still come here, but they can do their meditation at home or anywhere that they wish to. Further down, as we pass down along the corridors here, we're coming down into another area and we have another room that has been developed here over the whole period of the lockdown through COVID, and this is our, what we refer to as the garden room.
Yes, yeah.
And as you can see, Alan, this is a very bright space. Mm-hmm. Again, new flooring on it, new furniture and that in it. It opens out into our beautiful garden.
Yeah.
And this is where people can come and they can meet with a therapist, mm-hmm. or they can come in here and they can have a cup of tea themselves. So we often would have people that will be in town who maybe come overwhelmed, you know, with thoughts about their illness or whatever, and they can come up here. They can come into our garden room, they can sit down, they can have a cup of tea, they can relax. Right. They don't have to talk to anybody, but if they want to talk to somebody, there's somebody here.
And I think we're fit enough to go up the stairs. We leave the lift.
We'll give the lift a miss.
You have a nice little kitchen there as well, which is important for people to have the cup of tea and sandwich and everything, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
But straight away, it's warm, it's inviting. There's nothing clinical about here at all, is there, Sean?
No, and we aim to keep it that way.
Yeah.
You know, there is a place for the clinical, but we do keep our own hygiene and cleanliness policies here. So although it doesn't look clinical, it is cleaned and it is looked after that way.
Spotless.
As if it was in a hospital setting.
Right. These are more therapy rooms, are they?
So this is what was referred to as the library room. It's currently kind of used at the moment as a backup for the nurses that do assessments for people that come in here. But we're in the process now, in the next number of months, of actually developing a child and family counselling space in here, because there's specific things that you need, particularly with children, you know, because they do play therapy and they could be doing sand therapy.
This is children who are going on their own cancer journey.
This could be children who, well, primarily the children we get here are they have lost either a sibling or they may have lost a parent.
Right.
So it's bereavement work that we would be primarily doing with them. And we're going to design a specific space for that.
Fantastic.
Which is you know, appropriate for children, but it would also be that mum or dad or a carer would be able to be in here with them as well. So as you can see, it's just set out like a sitting room at home, but we're just going to change that and have it into a therapy room. The room directly beside us here now, this is our reflexology room.
Right.
Okay. So this is reflexology and massage. So, and of course, all of these services are free to people.
Incredible.
So every, you know, nobody has to pay anything in coming in here for our services. So we have two reflexologists that work here, and this is their specific room. And there's a huge demand for reflexology. People get great comfort from it. And again, it's a space and a place where they can come and they can relax and feel pampered, I suppose. And, you know, for want of a better way of putting it, but they get great benefit out of it. So massage and reflexology goes on here in this room.
And you're actually, are you back fully functional now? Are people coming in here
yes.
now?
Yeah. This is our second week having the reflexologists back. All of our other therapists have been back a few weeks prior to that. But we had it going on remotely. When people weren't coming in here, there were still people getting it remotely. Some people in their own home, or they may have been getting it in a nursing home or in a hospital setting, whatever their services were. Or they could have went to the therapist's private rooms.
But now you're back.
They were still being...
With the precautions, as you said.
With all of the precautions, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So where's the next, Sean?
Over to our right, then, is our art room.
Right. I've heard about this. This is a fascinating initiative, isn't it? Something that you've really worked on. In fact, I can remember when this was being thought up of, this is a wonderful room.
Yeah, so this is our art room. Now, this is one of the therapies that is not back yet, but we're working towards bringing it back. And as you can see, there's a wide range of easels and paints and, you know, everything that they need to do it. And I'm here about 2 years now, and the thing that actually fascinates and amazes me is the standard and the quality of the work that the people who attend the art classes can do within a few weeks.
Is that one of the paintings there, of the daffodils, obviously?
Yeah, that's one of the paintings there. And it is our it is my ambition to kind of do this art room up a little bit more, but that we will be actually displaying and putting on show the pieces of art that have been done. Because it's amazing.
It's wonderful. You know, absolutely wonderful. I've used the word wonderful quite a lot in here, haven't I?
Yeah, the people who come in, even though they may have never done art before, they said the peace of mind that they get from doing it, because they're totally immersed in the art, and it takes them away from their problems and their difficulties. So they could be here for an hour and a half, but they can also come back anytime they want to, and to continue doing their art here. So they don't have to bring it home with them.
Yeah.
So they can come in any other time day of the week. Just let us know, come in, and they have all of the facilities, all of the paints, the easels, the brushes, the whole lot. They're all here, and they can leave them here. We just can't go over up those steps because there's some
patients
or clients in there. So what we would have over there is a manual lymphatic drainage service. So we have two nurses. Well, one of the nurses was a physiotherapist who come here, and they're specialists in manual lymphatic drainage. So people who have got lymphatic, lymph nodes are sort of removed or whatever, that can make a lot of difficulties for people as they, continue on their journey. And sometimes they need help in actual draining away. So our two therapists that are here provide that service.
Fantastic.
And that is the actual service that is in most demand
at the moment
here. So it is, because it's not freely available in the region, even in the southeast, not just in Wexford. So again, all of the people who come here, there's a free service. The bra fitting,
we don't
do wig fitting at the moment.
Okay.
But we do have a service that we're kind of a post mastectomy, but it just doesn't have to be post mastectomy. But there's a professional bra fitting service there for people who, let's say, who maybe have had a mastectomy. They can access a number of bras free during the year under the medical card system, but also under medical insurance system, they can also get it as well. And they could swimsuits and things like that, so they're fitted properly here.
And it's all done with the utmost privacy, isn't it?
The utmost privacy, yeah. Everything here is very much confidential and confidential. Yeah. I wouldn't even, as a general manager, wouldn't even know who'd be coming into those services.
So we stepped outside the door into the daylight here now. I was made aware of this new premises, but I think it's my first time going in here. So you can see, like, if people ask, where does the funding from the Hope and Dream 10 go? You've answered all the questions. We've seen it quite clearly. A lot of history in this street, a lot of history in these buildings as well, isn't there?
Oh, yes. And this building has a regional preservation order on the exterior of it.
Yeah.
Because it's of the architecture of the exterior of the building. So,
right. So have you just taken over this building?
So we purchased this in late 2019.
Yeah.
We are the proprietors of it now. We haven't done anything with it.
Okay.
As at this point in time. So what you're seeing is the house precisely as we bought it.
So what do you hope to do with it then, Sean?
So our ambition is, well, we have a kind of a broad vision of what we would want to do. We hope to combine the two buildings, amalgamate them together, so there will be one building as such.
And will you extend all the services you have there?
So what we're doing, and we're just working on it this morning, is we're developing a strategic plan over from 2021 to 2026. At 2026, that will also coincide with the end of the National Cancer Strategy. So we're actually working and developing services based on the recommendations in the National Cancer Strategy. So we're working towards amalgamating both of the buildings.
Have it complete by 2026.
Oh no, we would hope to have it completed before then.
All
right. So we're starting a strategic plan. Doing a strategic plan. But the first thing we're doing in that is a consultation process.
Right.
So this morning I spent a number of hours doing introductory letters and things like that. So we're going to consult with the service users, their carers. We're going to consult with GPs, with the hospitals in the region, because under the National Cancer Control Programme, centres like the Hope Cancer Support Centre will become a spoke and a hub to University Hospital Waterford, to Wexford General Hospital, maybe to St. Vincent's Hospital, or anywhere that anybody from Wexford, let's say, is getting cancer treatment, so that they could be then referred into ourselves to get that community type of support. And that's in the best, you know, plans for cancer. It's going to be a 3-year journey. Like, you know, it's not going to be
Listen, Sean, it's been a fascinating insight, but to conclude our chat and our ramble around here, when should people utilise this service and how easy is it to access and to utilise?
It's very simple to access. It's very simple to utilise. And if anybody has any concerns, worries, think that there might be something wrong with them, or they might feel that, I felt a lump or whatever, immediately. Don't wait, because the sooner you go and get support through your GP and through the support cancer support centres and that, the better are your outcomes.
You know all the fundraising, but I'm thinking of all the miles that have been put in by the people of Wexford over the last 10 years or so for the Hope and Dream 10. You can see the benefit of it. And I can just tell people, and I have my little wristbands that highlight it, like what the people of Wexford and beyond have done is remarkable, isn't it? But the fruit of their labour is right here.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal what the people of Wexford have done. As you say, the fruit of their labour is here in Wafer Street and Enniscorthy. But it is also our ambition to spread our services out beyond Enniscorthy. Like, we should have a presence. We can't have a presence like we have in Enniscorthy, in New Ross and Gorey and in Wexford. But certainly we will be working towards, you know, being able to have a presence there weekly in those as part of our strategic planning and that. So that's something that I certainly is a goal of mine, that the Hope Cancer Support Centre will have a presence in all of the 4 main centres of population in Wexford and outreach into other areas where required.